Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise.
Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Chefs.
Yes, Lord, we got a brand new president. What? Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of it.
Come on,
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Sports City Chefs, it's the chefs again. The good versus bad at the caller's cookout, or good always wins, but hey. Every good hero needs a villain, and that's what I am. The villain's here. Call in number 929-277. I don't know the number. I'm not even in front of my computer. I'm not even in front. I'll get it to you in a minute. That's how I do. I messed it up. That's fine. We're live. So what? But we're here on this Wednesday. Got a lot of NBA talk to get through, some Olympic action going down, a lot of free agency stuff. But I'm here with the host, with the most. The man, the head honcho himself, TP Timeless. TP, what's up, brother?
929-477-2759 is the call-in number. We are live, and I took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped outside. The kitchen Timeless is alive. Happy to be at the cookout. Thank you to everybody that has been showing us love, participating, going out there, getting your Sports City Chef shirt and gear and everything that we got going on around this doggone building. Thankful to the Jordan family and foundation. Without Xavier and Avery going crazy, I don't think nothing else would be possible. I love these two with everything that I got in my body, because the other people around them, well, I just, you know, you just got to throw water on them, you know. But outside of that, man, everything is golden. It's happy football eve to everybody. Hopefully we can unwrap a present under the gift tree, you know, and enjoy a little bit of black and yellow, or you know, a little navy blue and silver or gray. I say gray because the silver is in a different place. But you know how I feel about what's going on right now. It's a lot going on, baseball frenzy. We're getting close to September at the beginning of August. So, I'm loving every last little bit that we got going on, and I'm a few days away from going to that valley. But, of course, I'm here with my brother and Xavier and Avery's children, you know, because without Xavier and Avery holding their spot down, you know, they got to take care of the children out there in the world, you know, so even the Timeless love the kids.
Yeah, you know, the villain loves the kids too. You know, I'm like a happy villain, you know, serving out some ice creams to the little children. So, you know, shout out to Avery and Xavier and Evelyn, my oldest daughter, back in her home state. But hey, listen, the kids are asleep. It's time to get into gear. Get some sports talk going down. I got the number now, so 929-477-2759, like a good villain. And we also got our friend of the program calling in, you know, via the barbershop, Mike in the building, not to be confused with Mark, serious, Mike. Mike, what's going on, brother?
Or Matt, either one, you know, it's kind of fun. He wants to call me whatever, but he'll learn my name eventually, man. How you guys doing? Thanks again to TP, the Timeless Wonder. Not for him, I wouldn't be on the stage chopping it up with you guys. Always happy to be here. Look forward to getting into all the different things going on in sports. So right now, I'm going to step aside and let's get on with what else on the plate for the day.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, listen, it's been a crazy day, day three of the NBA free agency. You know, we had a busy day one. Day two kind of popped off a little bit. Day three was going to be quiet, and then we got some big news coming out of the TP's favorite area, favorite team, the New York Knicks. I know how he hates talking about the Knicks, but I'm going there early. I don't care. It's our day. We did a good thing. We had a nice little run today. So, listen, day three, obviously the Knicks are going to get Kemba Walker after he agrees to a buyout with the Thunder. They got as much value out of that contract as they could. Couldn't find a trade partner. So they're going to decide to buy him out. Kevin Nunn agrees to a 2-year deal with the Lakers. Love that move. Horton Tucker, you know, he agreed to a 3-year deal also. Another big move today. Well, not a move, but LaMarcus Aldridge considering an NBA comeback. He's going to speak to some teams, see what he can do. So prayers up for that. And Spencer Dinwiddie, a 3-year deal. Looks like it's going to be a sign and trade. Type deal, I think, or I think it's a straight up deal. I think they had to do a sign and trade, a 3-year, $62 million contract to go from the Nets to the Wizards. So TP Timeless, not a quiet day, but a you know, pretty decent day of deals going down. Markieff Morris also going to Miami, Ish Smith going to Charlotte on a 1-year deal, veteran point guard. But I'm starting with the Knicks, Kemba Walker. Tell me your thoughts on your Thunder agreeing to a buyout with Kemba and Kemba eventually landing at MSG with the New York Knicks.
I'm going to be as truthful about this situation as I best possibly can. Knowing that I'm in the area where all of this is going down and knowing that I know people that know, like, Kemba Walker, where he's from out there in the Westchester County area, Bronx, Mount Vernon region, things of that nature. It's like, it's good to see him come back, right? And try to make something happen and help the Knicks. And we all know that he's had championship favor while he was in the state of Connecticut and, you know, watching things go down in stores and things of that nature. And it's good to get a guy like Kemba to go to the Garden and, you know, and he has history there due to the Big East championship that he tore McGee's ankles up on that crossover pullback. And a lot of people would love to see him in the middle of the Garden. So, with that being said, it gets personal in my sport fandom, if you will, because it's like, Sam Presti, I want to know, like, what's going on. Like enough is enough of you making move after move after move or decision after decision, and it's not making sense. Now it's not making sense anymore. In the same calendar year, within a month or two, maybe three, you bring in Kemba Walker to get rid of Al Horford, which I agree, I didn't think Al Horford was a fit. But then you get rid of him and have to buy him out because nobody wants the contract, but it looks like we're the one that wanted the contract. I don't get what you're up to. So, like, again, this is good and favorable for all parties that are involved with the Oklahoma City situation. It's like, what are you trying to do for the future of the Thunder? You also just gave Shea the super max contract after already having talks with the Detroit Pistons to try to get rid of him. You are indecisive as the manager. So it's like, what are we trying to figure out here? Like, do we need guards? You went into a draft and picked up four. You already have four on the roster. So there's eight guards on a 15-man roster where you need bigs. And you got rid of Kemba and didn't bring another big there. So it's like, I get it. I know Kemba and Derrick Rose, they look like a hell of a tandem. There's age there. Like, these guys are older, so I want to see how much they do have there and in which both of these guys don't play great defense. So this is something that the Knicks are going to have to, like, hunker down on and find out where their defensive anchor may lie. I think they need to focus more on the front court, even though they do have a guy like Randle who had an excellent season that just went past in the regular season, but everything fell apart in the postseason. And I'm not putting that all on Mitchell Robinson. I'm not, oh, Mitchell Robinson comes back and saves the day. No, it's not all him. They need more hands on deck. Taj Gibson is another year older, too. So the Knicks have the thing that they have to fill in before the regular season starts. But I think this does bring a spark to the Knicks organization. But in Oklahoma City, like I'm not even looking at the organization. It is just Sam Presti. Somebody needs to get that gun or pen or phone out of his hand and tell him to work. He is not doing any work. He's bringing all types of young pieces, or now he had an old piece that just left and soaked up a whole bunch of money to appease Kemba's contract. Like, I am literally scratching my head on what's next for this team's future. Like this is literally turning into a 5 to 7 year project when it shouldn't take that long with the interesting pieces that you could have potential to bring there.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think, you know, Boston had to get rid of Kemba. In their mind, they had to get rid of him. They had to give up 2 first-round picks to trade away that contract. It was 2 years, $70-plus million. So just by getting Kemba Walker, they got 2 first-round picks for him. Okay, that's not bad. But then, to your point, you know, I think, yeah, what are you doing? I honestly, it looks like they're just trying to kind of tank it a little bit and not really be that competitive if they didn't want to keep him. So that's kind of where I'm at. I think they couldn't.
Another 2 picks does what? Like you, okay, so you picked 6 picks in this draft, right? They had a total of 35, right? They get rid of, or they use up 6. They trade 2 already with the Knicks. They traded 2 with the Knicks already. How much dealings are you doing with the Knicks anyway? I want to know what's going on with the Knicks and OKC. And then you're getting another 2 picks, so now we're back at 31. Like, what are we doing here? Like how much time are you really wasting to try and put this together down the road and seeing how many attractions you could appease down the road? Like, you should be trying to piece this together now while Shea is still young and trying to learn the game. Like, this is going to take far too long before Shea's going to want to leave.
I can see that, but I don't think they're ready to compete in the West or anywhere right now. So get the draft picks, get high lottery picks, and build that way. Another lottery pick that they can hit on isn't a terrible thing. I mean, I don't think they want to be in the Mavericks or the Knicks position where they have cap space, but they're in the middle of the road and the draft, like, you know, 14 to 18 range, and they can't get a player. They can't get people to come to OKC, and then they can't get a player that they can draft really high that can really be a franchise-moving player. So I think they got to kind of strip it down, go all the way down to the bottom of the draft and start that way. I mean, Mike, what do you think? And I'll let TP get back in and give his response. But what do you think about what Thunder are doing?
I think that's part of what's happening in Oklahoma City, in that I think that the year they got Chris Paul, there was talk about buying that contract out, and they didn't really find a taker for it from everything that I read at the time, so they ended up keeping him, and they actually, you know, made the playoffs. And I think that in some ways, I think general management was expecting them, or upper management was expecting them, not to win nearly as many games and to be in a better position even in the draft that season, right? So they overachieved there, and then they're completely rebuilding, bringing in all these assets. They got like 300 draft picks in the next 5 years or something ridiculous, right? I do think you got all these young guys. You got a bunch of guards on the roster, like Timeless was saying. I think some of them could end up D-League. I think some of them could end up doing some G-League. I'm sorry, that's what it's called now. End up doing some other things, but I think you have to see what all these guys have. You've got to give them minutes. And if you got a guy like Kemba who's going to want that playing time on that kind of contract, you're going to have to play him even if you wanted to trade him. Like, I think you figure maybe he could take some minutes from those youth. That being said, they still have to address the lack of size that they have. And so who knows what else is going to happen. I think the only reason that the Kemba news really makes any headlines is because it's day 3 and not one of the first 2 days, and because it's New York. Just because, I mean, I would say that minus a couple of games, Kemba's performances were underwhelming last season for the Celtics. So I think you're right about neither one of those guys playing great defense. And I think with the Knicks, I think you're right. It's not all on Michael Robinson. I think they still need to address the front court. And in the postseason, you can't have Julius Randle trying to play point forward on a lot of positions. It's just not going to work. So that's part of it. But I still think the Knicks, I said this the other day, the Knicks got higher up that hill than anybody expected them to get last year. And even if they end up taking a couple steps back, they can still be progress for that franchise because they've had a long way to go, and it's better than throwing a bunch of bad money. I think they're going to get Kemba at a much more reasonable amount now, right? Like with him being bought out.
Yes. You're right, and I want to get to that next, but TP, I want you to respond to Mike about the Thunder. What do you think about his comments about what the Thunder might be thinking about?
I'm more or less responding to what you said about them, like, looking down the road of trying to get people to come there. They're not able to get somebody to come there now, especially the way that he's selecting. The lone name that makes, like, the room shake is Trey Mann. Everybody else is like a wait-and-see project because they played overseas. None of it's been seen here, like, unless we go to YouTube and catch clips that way. Like, these guys are not, like, ground shakers. Like, who's going to come there in the next year to come help a whole bunch of young people, let alone Shea's like 22, 21, 23. He's like in that range. Like, it was different when you had KD, Russ, Harden, Ibaka, and Reggie Jackson and them. They're all young together. They're 20, 21, and 22 all at the same time. There are, like, pieces all up and down the board. You have young guards that are already there, and you brought four more guards in. You brought four guards into a team that's loaded with guards already. You don't even have bigs right now. And you're already trying to talk about you want to try to bring DeAndre Jordan in and don't have another piece. And DeAndre Jordan is done. Like, forget saying that. I think it's a timetable. No, DeAndre Jordan's career could be finished, like, now. Like, he doesn't have anything left in the tank other than a high-flying dunk or rebound that he catches by himself. Like, there's nothing left in the tank for him. So it's like, impress other people, not just me, on what you're doing to bring pieces there. Nobody's going to OKC. You already seen Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook stamp that as a place not to go to. And Chris Paul just left not to stay there while they got to the playoffs. They could have built on something. Chris Paul is in a situation in Phoenix and where he re-signed with Phoenix, and I don't think that they're going to get to a championship in the 3 or 4 years that he just signed for. But he'd rather stay there because there is youth there, and I feel like he feels that it's a better place to play than to be in OK City because it's just something funny about it. Or he could have went to New Orleans because, you know, Willie Green being down there. But I'm getting away from what I'm saying. Like, I don't think Sam Presti is setting up a product that people are going to come to him, like, or what pieces that he entices other teams that I'm going to give you 3 picks here or 4 picks here or 5 picks here or 6 picks here. You have that many picks that you could play with teams and say that, and you're not bringing in any big name, let alone you just let a whole bunch of big names fly through the free agency market and you did nothing. You actually had to pay somebody off to get rid of them. That is absurd. That is not management anymore. This is hoarding. This is absolute hoarding now.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from, but you're looking at it like you want them to make a move up. I just don't see it happening right now. They're not ready for that, and they don't have anything attractive other than draft picks to do that. Like, the free agency list this year wasn't sexy at all. Next year's the sexier list. Now, some of those names are coming off the board because they're getting that max extension, like Luka, Trae Young, Curry, et cetera, but, you know, Beal and LaVine are going to headline next year. But do you really think Beal would come to OKC, like, even if OKC had cap space? I don't see that happening. So
he let that fly by. Like, Billy Donovan's gone now. Mm-hmm. Billy Donovan would have been the intriguing factor to get Beal. Beal is probably going to try to re-sign there or go mm-hmm. to a team to put him in a championship mindset. This isn't going to be a situation mm-hmm. where – I want you to look at this because I see how you're trying to pan this out, and it's like, absurd. If they're not trying to work towards something. So let's just say 2 to 4 years down the road, the West is still going to be loaded. Like, you got to try to make something happen now, not wait for the West to water down, and then we're going to catch them right there because these guys have grown up and took punches in their face. I want to be honest. LeBron probably has, like, 2 to 4 years in him, maybe more. You got Dame Lillard mm-hmm. that's going to be ring hunting. if the Lakers don't get nothing done with what they've done this offseason right here, Russell and Carmelo are still going to be ring chasers. Chris Paul is ring chasing. I don't even think Phoenix is another guarantee to get to a finals. There are a lot of people that have a point to prove. Let alone the Warriors are still around, and Klay Thompson has not played basketball in 2 years. So you know that they got a point to prove, because to be honest, I'm one of the people that sat right here in Sports City and said, I don't think the Warriors will get another championship. You know they have to be hearing that from more than other people than myself in the Western Conference to get it done, and they just had a dynasty 5 years ago. They just had a dynasty 5 years ago. Does it all come to, you know, fall flat, or do they compete? And then you got young guns like John Morant and all these guys across the Western Conference. It ain't going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. You got to try to get names to make it look like you're fighting, unless you want to sit at the bottom of the Western Conference and look like the Minnesota Timberwolves that are literally looking to be moved to Washington, literally. And that's not a product that the Thunder were for the past, let's just say, 12 years. The past 12 years, the Thunder have not looked like that. This year, right now, these dudes had to all get hurt for the Thunder to look that bad. They haven't looked this bad since 2008. They haven't.
Your point that you just made is exactly where I was going to go, and I was going to make that same exact comparison. You took the words right out of my mouth, TP, and that is, that sounds just trying to fall in the draft so you could get an explosive guy to draft and whatever else. Sounds eerily similar to the Minnesota Timberwolves rebuilding plan, and look where they still are. Now they finally have two guys to hopefully build around, but it's taking a long time. And it sounds too much like the Timberwolves, doesn't it? You need to be trying to win. Otherwise, you're going to continue to fall.
So, Mike, who do you see in college right now? Like, we can talk about the names that remain in college. There's no guy in college right now that's got me like, Like, he'd be a big piece in the NBA to, like, conquer next season.
And
Mike, give me some names.
And here's the thing. You don't even hear the high school kids. There's not even any international names right now. Like, we knew Luka before he came in the draft, right? Like, there were guys that we even knew internationally. And there's not really that headline guy right now that just blows people away.
Which is fair. Minnesota and the Sixers are a reason why tanking can backfire, because the process ain't working. You got those high draft picks, but you missed on Fultz. Ben Simmons can't shoot, and B can't stay healthy. Okay, on paper it looks all right, but it didn't work. It's not working. And then Minnesota, to your point, I mean, they've kind of fallen flat. So trying to build through the draft to force it, like those teams did, probably doesn't work. But I just caution, like, what did you want them to spend money on? Schroeder? TP? Did you want them to spend money on Reggie Jackson or something? Like, the big-name ticket guys like Lowry, Paul, nobody knows what Kawhi doesn't even know what Kawhi's doing. I mean, those, like DeRozan, those guys weren't going to come there and to OKC. So, I mean, what did you want them to do? Like, I think they're going to take Jordan as a buyout option or a stretch division option. Like, take that $10 million contract that the Nets desperately need to move so that they can build their team around their big three, and take him. He'd probably get a pick with it, you know, take the name and a pick, and then, you know, try to flip those picks for more. I just don't know what they're going to do, sign and trade. No, who's coming there, TP?
You said to get more picks. Barry, how long do you want them to keep using that draft to pick up people? They have 31
picks.
Hold on. Wait, hold on. Oh, I want you to hear this. They have 31 picks till 2028. So in 7 years, divided by 31, let's just say it's 4 picks each draft. You don't even have that many roster spots to fucking fill. You don't even have that many roster spots to fill. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, what are you going to do? Are you going to entice teams to bring talent there, or are you going to play ball? You're not going to sit up here and just get punched in the face. You're going to lose people to support that team in a state that they support everything that comes through there, whether it's the Oklahoma Sooners, whether it's Oklahoma State Cowboys, whoever plays in that state of Oklahoma, they come out by the drones of thousands. The Thunder were a team that you had to worry about since they got in that state. And the nickname of Chesapeake Energy that they changed to Paycom Arena is Loud City. They are not going to go fill that arena if you're not giving them a product to go support. What are you talking about? What are they going to do? They could go get anybody. The Thunder are a team that people used to go play with. Shay is a team, a player that they want to build around. You're not building around him with a whole bunch of young guards, and he's a guard. So you're telling me he's on a roster. He has three other guards around him on the roster now. They went and picked up another four and gave him a super max. That makes no sense at all. All you're doing is giving the talent to the G League. That's ridiculous. You're not doing nothing. You're sitting up there wasting the picks that you're bringing in, saying that that's going to help you, and it's not helping you because you're low in the G League. And overall, let's go back to the history of the Thunder / Sonics. Sam Presti was around when they were getting rid of Sean Kemp, Rashard Lewis, Ray Allen, and them. This has been him for decades. Like, it has to stop. It has to stop. Like, he has to start somewhere and start anew. Like, whatever mindset he was in the 90s till now, it's gotten him to the promised land, and they've not gotten over the hump. And right now, you're loaded with guards. You look like the Phoenix Suns before Chris Paul got there.
But who's coming there, TC?
Anybody. Okay. Listen,
you got to give me a name.
You're saying that, bro. Listen, you're saying that. But listen, Shay is a piece to build. What are you talking about? You are not those players or the organizations. What are you talking about?
But how much cap space did they have this offseason going into the
offseason? I don't know the raw numbers now. I'm talking off the top of my head. I don't have the numbers in front of me, Barry.
Okay, I'll take a look. But, I mean, like, that's what I mean. Like, all right, if they had cap space or not, you're telling me anybody would come there. Why didn't they? Sam Presti didn't – nobody called? They didn't call anybody? Like, they just want to hoard picks? Like, I don't see free agents coming to OKC. They had stars there. They all left. The only one that stayed there and signed the contract was your boy Russ. Durant left. Harden left. George got left. Melo left. Like, nobody's coming to OKC, just like nobody was coming to New York. Nobody was coming to the Knicks. Nobody wanted to be there.
There's a difference
in
him getting rid of them. No, he got rid of them via trade. The only one
didn't want to be there. They didn't want to be there.
So Carmelo wasn't frustrated when he left. When he went to Houston, he wasn't frustrated.
No, he was frustrated. He probably asked to be,
okay,
to be traded.
So
I don't think they traded him to be traded.
Even in his exit, he's like, I was thinking that we could work on a championship here. He knew that couldn't happen in a year. He knew that was something to work on. He knew that's something to work on. He's not giving anything time to develop. You mean to tell me that this is the same guy that sat there and picked up James Harden in the draft of 2009 and let him play there for 2.5 seasons and let him go be an MVP somewhere else? Like, you're not even letting any of the talent develop. Reggie Jackson, another pick out of Boston College. This guy got better. You got rid of him and let him go to Detroit. Wow, this guy could have been a piece there. Could have been a piece there. Mm-hmm. Like you don't know how much talent has walked through that door and left, not because they don't want to be in Oklahoma City. It's because he's moving these players. He's moving them.
You're right about Harden. Hold on, let me finish.
They're not sitting in the free agency market like, oh, I couldn't wait to leave. I'm going there. Like, Kevin Durant tried to sit there and make it happen for years. Like, for years until it was like him and Russ was the ones that you've seen on TV that knew that they had something wrong going, like, through, like, emotion and body language you could read, like, something was going on there. And you're bringing in coaches that can't corral these two. Like, and let alone knowing that Kevin Durant ain't even like the loudmouth guy. Like, he's more of a humble approach player that's being coached. He's getting coached by Steve Nash for the first time that a coach has coached for the first time, and he can't be handled by Billy Donovan, nor Scott Brooks, and these guys have coaching relevance. Like, I don't get where you're coming from, bro. That's ridiculous. I don't get that. So what are you going to do? And let alone you got a G League coach that can't outcoach nobody right now. He's in the West. Who is he going to outcoach, Vogel? Who? Pop?
I have no idea.
Who?
I mean, listen, you're right about Harden. They chose Ibaka over Harden.
Going right now. Who? Chauncey Billups probably got more of an edge over him. Who? We could just pick name after name out of the Western Conference, and he's not proving anything but did something in the doggone G League? Come on. Come on. Come on. Presti is watching this fall apart, and they are letting him get away with murder. This is murder right now. For him to get rid of 6 picks in a draft, trade 2, get 4 guards, and then pick up another 2 in weeks' time? What are you doing?
I mean, we're going in circles because I agree. Listen, Harden, he wanted to be there. They chose Ibaka over Harden because they couldn't pay all four guys. They thought that was going to be the better fit. Obviously, that didn't work out. But I don't know. Listen, I just don't see free agents knocking down the door to come to OKC. So I just don't know. I think kind of Presti's kind of handcuffed. But to your point, it's a lot of draft picks in over the next, 7 years that all wouldn't obviously make the roster. So you got to flip those picks for a higher pick or somebody that wants to come there. So hopefully they can make it happen. It's just, you know, I think they gotta accept the fact that they're not going to be able to compete right now. And I don't think they were going to compete in the West, you know, as it is right now. So, I don't know. Mike, did you want to add something to the Thunder? I definitely want to chime in on that Knicks point that you made.
No, I'm good. I think TP said it best. I mean, I think a lot of Thunder fans are frustrated right now. And I think that that was a very good a voice to speak out in ways that a lot of fans probably feel. I lived in Oklahoma City for a while, so I know some Thunder fans, and I would guess that that's a very common sentiment around the water cooler, as they say, in Oklahoma City. I see your point too. Like I said, and we've already said it looks like a process. It looks like what the Timberwolves have tried to do for years is just languish there. And that team has got great fan support. It's a fantastic environment to watch a basketball game. And so whatever they do, I hope that they have a plan that results in something to try to restore. I think Shai is a guy worth definitely building around, and I think it'll be interesting to see. I mean, they at least are sending the message to young guys. If we identify you as this guy, we think you're a franchise guy, we'll take care of you and you can get paid coming here. Cost of living is reasonable and everything else there too. So, I mean, they better have some sort of plan. To Tom's point, they can't just be they can't plan to rebuild by languishing in the cellar for the next several years without it having dire consequences on that team and on that franchise.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope it works out. I don't want it to go bad. That's definitely not in the cards for them. But to your point, TP Presti, he better have a plan. He better know what he's doing because right now it doesn't look like it. But I mean, on the other side of that, I'm looking at the Kemba move. To your point, Mike, you know, under the mid-level exception that or the exception was $9 million. They're getting it. They're slotting him in at $8 million. The Knicks are to get Kemba into MSG. Obviously, you know, people thought they didn't have any wriggle room. That they were like, what are they doing? Getting Burks, getting Noel, getting Rose back for and using up all their cap space, and then getting Fournier. But you know, this move came out of nowhere and kind of solidifies their off season. Because now you have Rose's bird rights, you can go over the cap to sign him. So you sign him last, you fit these other guys in. I think you've upgraded your team at the 1 and 2 position with Rose and Walker, and then with Fournier, as opposed to last year when they were running out Elfrid Payton and Reggie Bullock at the 1 and 2. Now you're talking about Kemba and Fournier at the 1 and 2, guys that can create their own shot. To get the ball out of Julius Randle's hands, make him a two. Kemba's your one scorer. Now Fournier doesn't have to try to be a 1-2 scorer. He can be a three, and that's more comfortable for him. It spaces the floor for RJ Barrett. I think it's a good move all the way around. Low risk, high reward. You don't have to play Kemba 20, you know, 30, 40 minutes. You can play 20, 25 minutes, play Rose the other 20, 25 minutes, and away you go. But I mean, there's other teams that made moves that are, you know, right on their heels. But you know, I think all in all, it's a good off season for the Knicks in addressing their needs, which was scoring. They needed scoring desperately. They worked too hard to get shots, and now you got guys that can create their own shot. So, Mike, I'll come back to you. I mean, what do you think about what the Knicks have done this off season?
underwhelming, but low risk, low reward. And like I said, I mean, I think that if you don't have the stars you want or you can't get those pieces and they're not going to come there, the one thing that a lot of teams do that they probably shouldn't is throw out bad contracts or we got to do something. We've got to make it look like we're trying to compete. And in a lot of ways, you end up hurting yourself more in the long run because you got money tied up into guys that are that don't move the needle and all they're doing is occupying spots on the roster. So I think that the Knicks did some things to try to address this spot on that roster, these, I guess, weaknesses or blemishes on their roster. I don't know that they, even if they did, like, you know, shine it up a little bit, I think there's still some streaks in it. I don't think that it's enough to really move the needle significantly for that Knicks franchise this year. But it is enough to help them, you know, at least stay in that in the playoff hunt and be competitive in the Eastern Conference, which is a good step forward for that franchise if they do it for a couple of years in a row. And, you know, they all have grand dreams and thoughts about Zion wanting to play in New York, and he's already said it and all this. And so you got to – whatever you're going to do, not saying that's going to happen, but New York's one of those places that you can get guys to come. But continuing to be a playoff team or, you know, not, like I said, languishing in the basement is key to doing that. So I think this helps the Knicks do that.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it to your point, low risk, maybe low reward. It could have a better ceiling than that, but – these are contracts that are easily movable. If you had to trade Kemba, you can trade him. If you had to trade, you know, Burks or Noel, you can trade them because they're non-guaranteed contracts, not fully non-guaranteed. So, I mean, it's an easy contract to move next year when there's cap space and players to be had. So, I mean, the Knicks, I think they did what you said. They didn't overspend for Schroeder. They didn't overspend for, like, DeRozan or Dinwiddie or whoever. I think they upgraded their team, but they didn't do it at the cost of their future. No draft picks were lost, and they didn't lose their cap space flexibility going forward. Those are contracts that during the season or next year you can move. TP, I don't know
you
what you think about
word.
What the
you
Knicks
need to
did.
Add a word after, you need to add a word after Schroeder. You said they didn't overspend for Schroeder. You still need to put a yet there because we don't know that for sure.
Well, nobody's spent on him yet.
Nobody's signed him yet. Signed anywhere yet? So I wouldn't say it's out of the realm of possibility that he gets paid by the.
Well,
Knicks.
I don't think they have the room. They'd have to lose some players. They'd have to lose some players to do it. So I don't think. I think they're out. I think they're out on him.
Well,
I don't see him coming to New York.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you're right too. Bringing Kimba in there, there's no reason for another guard on that team. Is Quickly still on that roster?
Thank you, Jesus. Yes, rookie contract. But I like it because now you got Quickly in the second unit where he thrived instead of trying to force him into the first unit. You have him on the second unit with Rose. Those two played well together. They can bust up anybody's second unit. So I think the move kind of helps. It just helps. TP, thank God Schroeder's not a Knick because I was afraid that was going to happen. But what do you think about what the Knicks have done this offseason?
I think they need to focus on the front court. They're worried about the back court a little too much. Again, from what we've seen in the postseason, where I'm not even going to lie, I actually picked the Knicks, and I don't like the Knicks. I'm not a big Knicks fan. I actually thought the Knicks could beat Atlanta. The way that Atlanta beat them so sound, they carried that momentum all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals. The Knicks should not have only been held to a one-win series, but they did not do anything that I feel like catapults them to a second-round type of team in the Eastern Conference where everybody in the Eastern Conference just got stronger. The Miami Heat just did a whole bunch of work. Like, Charlotte is going to get stronger because they get back healthy. If everybody remains healthy, then Charlotte is somebody to worry about. Chicago just got stronger. The Knicks are not beating anybody with Kemba Walker added to that roster, and he's older, and Derrick Rose is going to be sitting the bench and coming off the bench, and he's the better guard. Derrick Rose is better than Kemba Walker. I could care less on how people feel it because Kemba's younger, that he should go out there and start. Do you know Kemba doesn't play an ounce of defense? Like it's already bad enough that Derrick Rose ain't going to give you that type of effort, but Kemba can't D any guard in the league. And the way that his field goal percentage fell while he was in Boston, while he had two powerhouse players on the wings outside of him and Jaylen Brown, and Jason Tatum, like, how did this get better when he don't have a strong two or three around him? The only one that you're really worried about is Julius Randle, and Julius Randle fell asleep at the wheel in front of Danilo Gallinari. Like, I'm not getting the way that the Knicks are moving, let alone they're picking up pieces from the Thunder. They got the big man from Turkey or something from the Thunder. It's like, wait, which way are you guys going? Like, you guys got to get proven products to help the Knicks get back to relevancy and a strong Eastern Conference. Now, the Eastern Conference ain't that weak no more. It's good parity there, let alone they got to worry about teams like Indiana that are trying to upstart themselves and get better too. Like, I don't think the Knicks have made moves right now to put them in the talks of being a second round or Eastern Conference final contender, like, let alone to put them in NBA Finals talk, let alone all of the stuff that's been baggage around Thibodeau's feet, because Thibodeau's had stuff around his feet since he was in Chicago, New York before, Minnesota, and now back here again. Like Tib got a lot of work to do, let alone what the front office got to do, and the aging players that they have there. Their better bigs are Nerlens Noel and Taj Gibson. Like, Julius Randle still has a point to prove. He may have improved himself in the regular season, but in the postseason, it was like you look like the Julius Randle that everybody got rid of or passed over. So the Knicks need to figure out what they're going to do up front. They can keep bringing in guards all they want, but they got to get guards that are going to help them other than try to be scorers or ball handlers. That's what they have right now, a bunch of guys that can dribble the ball and score if needed. But other than that, they got to be able to get players that are there to win games and work as a cohesive unit.
I agree that they needed front court help, but I think the really bigger concern was scoring. They had only Randall that could score, that can get his own shot, and he was forcing a lot of shots. We saw it in the playoffs. You said it when we were talking about it on this show, that he was just forcing shots and just didn't look – it looked ugly. So they needed scoring, and I think they got it. To your point, I think they're banking on the idea that, you know, Robinson can come back from that injury and be the big that they thought he was going to be. They opted him back in, got him at a bargain rate, I think a couple million, and they're hoping that he can, you know, fit the bill. Taj Gibson had a nice season, knowing as well. I think had a, you know, he wasn't a scoring guy, but I think defensively he had numbers up there that rival anybody with his blocks and efficiency defensively. So I think that's what they're kind of banking on, to your point. I don't see any bigs that were available that was enticing enough for them. I think they just desperately needed scoring, and I think that was a bigger glaring hole. But you took my next point right out of my mouth, TP. That's why you're the hero. I mean, what Eastern Conference team – and you kind of ran off a lot of them that I was thinking too, but which Eastern Conference team improved themselves the most, and which teams do you think right now, as it stands, the third day of three free agencies about to wrap up, what eight teams do you think are making the playoffs and who's on the outside looking in?
Chicago has definitely put themselves in the top eight seeds in the Eastern Conference. They will be a playoff team. And the Miami Heat are not playing around. They went from a team that made the finals last year to getting to a playoff bid and getting swept and having that bitter taste of getting beat that bad and soundly by the champions, that they are coming. They have to come back and do something about it, let alone one of the pieces they picked up just won the championship last year in P.J. Tucker. So I think the Heat are in an interesting situation, and this is probably one of the last two to three straws that I feel Spoelstra goes into the next coming seasons. I mean, Spoelstra's done an excellent job as a coach, but he can't just keep, you know, being status quo. Like, he's going to have to get over the hump and get past that LeBron championship run, because now it's like you're going to have to bring something to the table, and now the front office is working with you. They're trying to bring pieces there so you guys can contend. I still feel like they're another big away. Like, I think they need a center because Bam can't play the five. Bam has to play the four. He cannot play the five. They need a consistent guy to be down there at the five to help Bam flourish for the 195 that you soaked up to him. But I feel like a lot of these teams that made the moves in the Eastern Conference put themselves in a better situation. Thank goodness that Brooklyn did something to bring Patty Mills in there, because I didn't want Brooklyn to sit there hands tied, acting like they couldn't bring nothing else in there than the pieces that they have with Kyrie, Harden, and KD, because everybody else is retooling and looking at what the Lakers did in the Western Conference. I don't think that the Nets are safe going up against the Lakers if they were to be in the final, because they got more guns to go to. So the Nets are going to have to try and do more movement within this off season and going into the season to make them a consistent threat to try to fight through the East and get there because what the Bucks just did to them. Like if somebody gets in foul trouble or hurt in Brooklyn, it's over. It's over. So they better do something as soon as possible. And Philadelphia, just contract yourselves because if you're going to hang on to Ben Simmons and you're going to get rid of Dwight Howard and bring in Andre Drummond, who a lot of people are done with Andre Drummond, I don't know what you guys are up to, let alone Doc Rivers has a point to prove as a coach because everybody knows that he's either choking or falling short of his team's expectancy. So I don't know what the Sixers are up here doing, especially with the talent that they do have there. And the guards that they said that they were going to try to bring there, none of them came. None of the guards came that they were available, and this thing was guard-loaded. So I don't know what the Philadelphia 76ers are up to, too. So this is all interesting. And if Boston brings Marcus Smart back, I'm questioning what Brad Stevens is up there doing as a GM, let alone him as a head coach up there in Boston. Had me scratching my head and thinking that this past season was his last season, and I was correct, but they just gave him an office position. So there are concerns in this offseason as a free agency frenzy starts.
For sure.
I couldn't agree with you more with the Sixers. Couldn't agree more. Go ahead, Mike. I want to hear your take.
I think Philly is still a playoff team with everything they have coming back. If they don't do anything different, but I would lay pretty good money. They will not be the number one seed in the Eastern Conference again.
Absolutely.
I'd lay pretty strong money on that for sure. So I think when you look at the – and, you know, who knows? We could still something happen with Dane over the next few days or whatever. I think there's still going to be some news break before this weekend somewhere. We'll see. But I think when you look at playoff teams in the Eastern Conference, because it is more parity, but, you know, you count a lot of the same ones from last year. Miami's making the playoffs. Milwaukee's making the playoffs. Atlanta's making the playoffs, right? So there's three. And then you got the Nets making the playoffs, four. You got Boston probably getting there, Philly getting there. And I think Chicago, as Tom said, there's seven. And now you still got you got the play-in games or whatever, so you're going to see 10. But there's going to be a lot of parity between those other teams for those three spots. Like Pacers, Wizards, Raptors always find a way to compete. They're kind of sneaky every year anyway and find a way to kind of be there. So, I mean, there are those other teams there that I think will be pushing for that 8 seed and you know, those play-in spots or whatever. But, I mean, it's not an easy road, so don't be surprised. I mean, I think the play-ins and it being 10 teams, you know, you're more likely to at least get a shot or a bite at the apple, as old Chick Hearn used to say back in the day. But there's still somebody going to be on the outside looking in. And if it was just 8, I could see, you know, to your point, we were just talking about the Knicks, I could see them not being top 8.
Yeah, I mean, the play-in is – how fascinating is the play-in going to be for the Eastern Conference? You would have thought it would have been a big factor in the West. Now we're looking at the East with all these teams, and I look at the off season.
And I still
the East the East did work in the off season more than the West. I feel a lot of players shifted from the West to the East and shifted around pieces in the East and loaded up teams. I'm looking at a team like the Celtics. I don't think they did enough. I think losing Fournier and they already traded Walker, I could see them in a play-in position or maybe missing it altogether. I think the Nets, Bucks, Sixers, and Heat are the top four teams. I think, to your point, I would probably go in on that bet with you. I'd go half seas with you on the Sixers not being a one seed this year. Unless, to your point, if Dame is really looking to get out, the best place for him to go is Philly. If that happens, then, you know, let's move them back up. But right now, as it stands, I'm saying Nets 1, Bucks 2, Heat are probably 3. With all the additions that they made, Kyle Lowry is a great fit in there. But I'm looking at, to TP's point, P.J. Tucker is a sneaky good get. I love that get for them. Another tough-minded guy that doesn't need the ball but can come in and play defense. I think TP's right. Bam is not a 5. But if you figure out a way to get somebody, maybe you know, DeAndre Jordan gets a buyout or something and you can pick him up. All you need is somebody that can rebound. But I like what the Heat have done. I don't think Spoelstra gets nearly enough credit as being a good coach as he is. Pat Riley is being a coach/executive that he is. championship since the 80s, doesn't get enough credit. So I love what the Heat did. The Hawks aren't going anywhere. Go ahead, Mike.
No, I was just going to add, I just want to get part of something in on what you were just saying, and that is the East did do a lot of work, but I would amend your statement and to say that the bottom of the Western Conference didn't do a lot of work. But the teams
okay.
that are good in the West, the teams that are expected to contend, they all at least have done something, right? I mean, obviously the Lakers have signed a bunch of guys. Phoenix worked out a deal with Chris Paul, was able to bring in JaVale McGee. Utah kept their point guard. Denver brought in Jeff Green, re-signed Will Barton, and I feel like they signed another piece too. Portland re-signed Norman Powell. We don't know what else is going to happen with that franchise, but they made a move
right.
there. So I think that these teams, even Golden State has made a couple moves. So these teams in the West know that it's a war in that conference and it's going to be very, very competitive. So they're all trying to find some ways to strengthen their rosters. And we don't obviously, like you said, we don't know what Kawhi is going to do. He's the fly in the ointment. And it might not be discovered until at some point late this next year. And who knows how much of an effect that fly will have if it's left dormant for that long until the following season. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, Kawhi, please. I don't even think he knows what's going on in his head right now. But, to finish that point, then I'm going to definitely get to the West. But I love what the Bulls did. I think they brought in two-plus guys in Ball and DeRozan. They're going to be in the playoffs this year. It's just a matter of where. So it's going to be a fight not to get the 7-8 game and get to that six spot. So I think the Knicks at best are a 5 seed, maybe a 6, because I don't see the Hawks slipping that far. So I think the Knicks did enough to get to 6, but the Bulls are going to be right there. The Hornets, Pacers, we'll see what the Pacers are. I don't know if they did enough. I think they're doing some good things. I think losing McDermott might hurt them a little bit, but they still got some solid pieces in there, and I think that the coach is going to be a big help to them. But I think
Sixers
it's going to be a dogfight in
the
East.
The Sixers
could
play in.
They could, depending on what happens. I mean, if Ben Simmons is there, and I don't know. Who knows? But it's not going to be easy, but I like the East. But let's go out to the West. I definitely want – let's start with you, Mike. The Lakers, I want to get to the Lakers, and then we'll talk about all the Western Conference teams, how they've kind of shaken out. But the Lakers, listen, they were hamstrung when they traded for Russ Westbrook. There wasn't a lot of moves that they can make yet, and still they went out and they made some moves, and I think they got guys – that are going to help them right away. And Malik Monk, I think Kendrick Nunn is a great get. He took less money. I think he was talking to the Knicks and some other teams, got more money to offer to him, took less money to go to L.A. I like bringing in Bazemore and company. What do you think the Lakers have – do you think they've done enough to build the team around their big three to be a real big threat? I think they're going to be a threat, but is it going to work? Can it – you know, will those pieces fit with getting Carmelo and company? And you know, there was a tweet that LeBron had going out saying, you know, because people were saying they're too old, and that's a viable discussion, but, you know, he's like, you know, bring that noise when we're playing well this season. Are they too old, or did they build this team right to make this push this year?
Well, here's what I say. There's definitely challenges with building that roster, as we talked about, right? And when we talked about building it, we said there are some things that you need to look for the guys that you bring on to that roster. We need some guys that can play some defense. We need some guys that can shoot and hit wide open shots because the guys that are going to penetrate. We need some guys that can help protect the rim. 3D rim protectors. And we need at least one other ball handler, somebody else that can bring the ball as part of a second unit or late in the game. We need another guy that can play a little bit of point guard. And so far, they have addressed everybody that they have signed fits that something in that role. Trevor Ariza is still athletic, can play a little defense. He's old. Bazemore's got a little bit of defensive ability, has shown the ability to knock down some shots, can hit free throws, that kind of thing. So he's got skills. Dwight Howard brings energy and can protect the rim. And there are a lot of people saying we wish they didn't let him go last year and whatever. And now he changes places with the man who has the trash can lids for hands, and he goes to Philly. So you have that goes on. And then you add a couple of other pieces. You know, I have to see more of Nunn. I've seen him some here and there, but not a ton. So, is this roster done? No, I think that some people that are Lakers optimists and other people though are really sort of over exaggerating. Like they, you know, Steve McNair made a song before his Heisman year called "Hand in the Heisman." Of course, he never won it, but it was part of a Heisman campaign. Let's not hand any rings to the Los Angeles Lakers based on what they did, because there are some challenges. Is Anthony Data Davis going to be able to play on the most of the year, or is he going to be in?
Did you say Data
right?
Davis?
Anthony Data Davis, and then what's going to happen with the rest of the guys on that roster? Because you are old, you run risk of injuries and whatever. If they can be healthy or they can whatever, they have some guns. They brought a lot of guns in, and so I feel like I applaud them in being proactive to try to build this roster early, before more guys had a chance to sign other places, because there are some challenges in doing so. And I think this team has the potential to be a problem in the Western Conference based on skill sets and whatever else, and just the basketball talent that they've been able to get together. However, every team is different. And every time you bring a new group of people together, it's kind of like ingredients. You got to know how to mix them. I don't have a lot of faith in the head coach of that team. So that concerns me a little bit. And but they could be very good. All I'm saying is you pointed out the LeBron tweet, and all I can say is be careful, LBJ. Let's hope that your mouth didn't write checks that your team can't cash.
If you haven't coined Data Davis, can I please use that? Because that's like gold. That's better than anything I've come up with. That's gold. I totally agree. But I think on paper, to your point, they answered a lot of questions. They did a lot of things that they needed to do very creatively. And give their GM a lot of credit. We didn't think that they could maneuver and do a lot of moves. Some guys took less money to come there. They talked them into it. Probably LeBron and AD had something to do with that, Russ. But I think they addressed it. TP Timeless, my brother, what do you think about what the Lakers have done so far the first 3 days of the offseason free agency period after getting the mega trade for Russell Westbrook? Well, how do you think they've fared, and where do you think where do you think they'll fall out this year?
I just want to know who Russell Westbrook is, but the interesting
part
about
this.
List.
I got that list, man.
Oh,
come on, give me a break.
I know you for at least over 2.5 decades, at least. You do not have a Mike Tyson list.
When I talk fast,
You don't talk fast either. You talk clear and concise. There's no speedy tongue.
All right.
Hey, listen, we listen to rappers like Busta Rhymes and Twista. That's fast. You are not that fast. And the crazy part is that you could recite those rhymes if I were to start you up right now. So don't.
Yeah, if you want more information, listen to Ryu. I sit back and I roll another fat bag of weed. You're about to take control of your set like Cruise Control.
See what I'm talking about, Sports City? This is what this is the bad guy that I deal with. I am your host, hero, the timeless wonder. I got to take off the blazer and lose it on my tie. Find a phone booth and come save the world. And then you have this guy, Lex, over here. And he gets away with a whole bunch of stuff. So with that being said, the Lakers made a whole bunch of moves that they have to win this year. They have to. With the pieces that they have there from Carmelo Anthony, Russell Westbrook, Trevor Ariza, these are players that are playing for a ring, let alone Michael Jackson, a.k.a. LeBron James, needs another ring to help him chase whatever he's chasing. Like, I feel like his spot is solidified. You're bringing this much to LeBron to get him another championship to what? Catch Kobe, catch Tim, or catch Mike? Like, I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now it's another situation with the way that this team is loaded up. If he falls flat and they don't get a championship, I don't know who I look more toward. Do I look more toward Carmelo, who will be 37 this coming May? Do I look at Russell Westbrook, who will be 33 this coming November? Or do I look at LeBron James, who will be 37 this coming December, and the guy that they're trying to build around when he's already had super team after super team around him. And this is him in Miami as well as him in L.A. right now. And I can also include the run that he had in Cleveland where they put enough pieces around him for him to get it done. This is, and I don't want to beat him up, but I have to, the more pampered athlete in sports. He's pampered. You watch them fall short, and I think more or less because of the injury of Anthony Davis, that LeBron couldn't carry that weight alone with the team that they had around them. And they do have interesting pieces because that team just won a finals the year previously. So what do they have to be? Do they have to be absolutely flawless with every piece that you bring there? If they don't make it happen, which there is issues that they can arise because these guys are older now. They are the oldest roster in the league right now. And if anybody gets hurt or tired or goes down, this is what the Lakers actually face. So I actually want to see this season pan out. I really feel like, and I'm going to say this right now, the Lakers are clear-cut winners of the finals next year with the moves that they made. If they don't, this will be the biggest upset in sports probably ever. If they do not get a finals with the way that they are constructed right now, because I don't feel the Lakers are done. I don't feel that they're done. I feel like they got another move or two to finish this out.
I think you're right.
And if they don't make this happen this season, I'll start with the head, and Frank Vogel, you will be fired. I know they will get rid of you. And the second, LeBron, there's no other excuse. And also, you can't put your name in a conversation with Mike, Magic, Tim, Kobe. You can't. Like, you can't. Because they're going to have to keep trying to find pieces to work with you because you're trying to be the assistant coach behind the head coach or the assistant manager behind the general manager. Like
exactly.
It has to happen now, this season. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. There's no excuse nobody could give them. None. If you're the best player in basketball, which this is debatable because they keep your name in the likes of Kevin Durant and the way that Giannis played this season, Giannis is in the discussion. They keep your name in the likes of Steph Curry also. If you can't put this together with the pieces like this, that's like saying let's remove LeBron out of the situation and enter Steph Curry in L.A. and Russell Westbrook with somebody else because it's 2 point guards. But you get what I'm saying. Like with all the pieces around Steph is almost in a situation where that's a can't-miss situation. You know what I'm saying? Like LeBron was in this situation before and has actually lost with pieces around him, whether it was San Antonio getting to him or the Warriors just knocking him down at the knees. So if he can't get it done this season, there is a lot of blame to be posted, and I don't know where to begin. If it's the coach, if it's the megastar, if it's the supporting cast, if it's the co-star, like there's a lot of questions to be answered. Or do I look at it as Russell Westbrook is the blame or if Carmelo's the blame because these guys can't get it done anywhere in the league? So there's a lot of pressure in L.A. right now, especially with the pieces that they just picked up.
Mike, you want to answer? You're good. Now, all right, I'll take. Listen, I agree with you. Listen, it's now or never. I think injuries kind of gave them a pass last year. I think the fact that he had that what was the ankle injury that kind of dogged them. He didn't really look the same when he played in the playoffs, and we all know Data Davis. I kind of use that. That's awesome. But, they built a team around them. It's a little older, yeah, but these are guys that can play in this league. I like Malik Monk. I like Nunn. I think Melo coming off the bench. He's kind of been rejuvenated in Portland, and it's really kind of picked his spots to really take over like Melo. And, 40 points away from passing the great Moses Malone, ninth all-time on the scoring list. I mean, that's nothing to sneeze at. So, Melo, he's looking for a ring. I think Russ is looking for a ring. So I think it's twofold. Russ, you have no excuses. Now it's time to win. It's time to go into the playoffs, go into the deep run, not being content. People that win championships are miserable. No, L.A. is not going to accept that kind of talk. It's either win championships or get out of town because they got, 18, 19 championships to speak to. You better start winning. And if you don't, then we don't want you in L.A. That's basically the talk. So get that out of your – get that in your head right now.
And AD, you know what? You got to take care of your body. You got to start doing stuff in the off season so that you can be available. The best availability is availability. You need to be there. So, you know, it's not on LeBron. LeBron does everything in humanly possible to win a chip, including, to TP's point, being the assistant coach, being the assistant GM, what have you. So this team is constructed. They got to start winning. But I love Mike's point. I don't like Vogel as the coach, and I don't think he's going to be able to get these pieces in this jigsaw together so that they can win a chip. I think they need another coach. I think they need another voice. But, Mike, go ahead.
I think they tried to build this team also. I mean, the idea in going and getting that third star. Because, listen, Brooklyn had a big three. That's how they built their roster, around three guys. And you could argue that if even two of them were healthy, they might still win the NBA title. Because it was just Durant, really. And Harden was just kind of a decoy in a lot of ways, and Kyrie wasn't out there. And we already said how close they came to that Kevin Durant shot eliminating them in the playoffs, right? So, I mean, if his shoe size is two less or whatever, like, probably goes, you know, the other way. So the Lakers, I think, tried to build this roster with the idea in mind that if Davis is in street clothes, they may still have enough on that roster to not get buried night in and night out. Because let's be honest, when he was out at times, those were some very pedestrian lineups around LeBron James. And that bench was hapless at times. And as good as KCP was at different times over the last couple of years, there were lots of times that he didn't show up last year. And Kyle Kuzma is a phantom right now. And Alex Caruso is just kind of a glue guy. He's not a guy that's supposed to put up those kind of stats. THT was still a puppy, still sucking on the formulas. He's getting his minutes on the floor. So you got so many guys that were just not fitting. You know, Markieff Morris went 0 for like 35 at one point last year. So their bench guys were not necessarily contributing to help them when those guys were out. And they looked at it and said, if for some reason this guy gets hurt, we cannot be put in a spot where we can't compete. And that's kind of where they were. So now you at least have, if Anthony Davis is out, you at least still have LeBron and Westbrook and these other pieces and guys that can at least put the ball in the hole and at least help you stay competitive. So I think they're obviously improved with Westbrook on the roster, and that, you know, but, yeah, Vogel's my big thing right now.
It's a bugaboo for me. I just don't think he's the guy. I don't know if there was any coach out there that they could have brought in. I mean, if LeBron didn't want him there, all he had to do was say a word. A la what happened across town with the Clippers. They didn't want Doc Rivers there. He was gone. So I think if LeBron wanted him out, they would have got rid of him and got a new coach. So, I mean, maybe there's a vote of confidence there by him, not publicly, but I just don't see the fit. I don't see it. He's a great defensive coach. I think offensively LeBron's probably the coordinator and he runs the offense, but I mean, you know, he needed to get those pieces together last year and it didn't work. So hopefully he can make it fit this year, but I'll come back to you, TP, in the West. I mean, who do you think has helped themselves out the most in the West, and who hasn't helped themselves at all in the West to get into the playoffs?
Of course, it's the Lakers that helped themselves out the most because they made the more influential splashes. The teams out West that I don't think really helped themselves is probably Portland. I mean, they brought Cuzzo back and Norman Powell, but they got rid of Collins. They don't know what they're going to do with Dame right now. That's still up in the air. They're talking about getting rid of CJ, but CJ looking like more of a mainstay shooting guard that I don't want to see them trade. So Portland has their issues as well. Utah really didn't do that much either. I'm not really thrilled on what Utah brought in the building, especially for them to be a number one seeded team in the West. And when the playoffs came around, they didn't look like it. They were more or less back to the middle of the pack or bottom of the Western Conference playoff table. So they have to bring pieces to help Spider out, you know, him being a Connecticut kid, you know, out of Greenwich or whatever. But it's like, you got to bring him some help. It can't just be him and Gobert not being a genuine scorer, but he can score off of alley-oops and put back the things of that nature, and they brought Mike Conley back, but it's like, how much is left in Conley? Like, how much are you thinking Mike Conley is going to bring to this team, and let alone his career is looking like an injury-prone situation. Like he's out of the roster a lot of the time, so he's bringing it to Utah also. So I'm not really thrilled on what the Jazz did. I feel like they could have done better. And, of course, like I said about Oklahoma City earlier, I'm not thrilled what they're doing also. Like, I feel like this is turning into a 3 to 5 year project now, the way that Presti is dealing with things. So there's a ton of teams out west that I feel like could have done more. They haven't really done what they needed to. The Suns brought in JaVale McGee, but I don't think that's the center that they need with DeAndre Ayton for 1 year. Like, this is a 1 year action or rehearsal, and then he's going to leave again. Like, everybody's like using JaVale McGee. He went from a center that Shaq used to pick on to now everybody needs his services for a season. Like, no, like, sign him to something big, make it work, because I know you want to use DeAndre as a four, not a five, and hopefully try to get to another final before Chris Paul has to retire after the third or fourth year of that contract.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think the Jazz did some nice things. I think they traded, Hassan Whiteside for Derek Favors, and they had to get rid of Derek Favors to clear up some cap space. And I do kind of like bringing in Rudy Gay. I think that's a solid get, but I agree. I don't think it's enough to kind of fight off the Lakers. Mike, what out west, who do you think helped themselves the most? I mean, we all think the Lakers probably did the most, but who out there do you think is a dangerous team that can contend with these Lakers right now?
Well, I mean, just the addition of Conley alone, as time has said, I don't think does a lot to help Utah. I think if people talked about Denver being a legit contender for the West last year, if you get Murray back healthy, you know, if Porter continues to get a little better, and Joker, and now you added Jeff Green there, you brought Will Barton back, and I still think there's another piece that I'm missing off my head that Denver signed. I think that's a team that can still very much contend in the West. And I think that Phoenix quietly didn't do anything to hurt themselves either. I mean, you pretty much have same guys that run that roster, and you lock up Chris Paul, and then you go get JaVale McGee because, I mean, as good as DeAndre Ayton was to begin that series, he was not the same force throughout the rest of that series. He needs some help on the inside, and I think they, you know, McGee is a guy that can fit a role and help do that. So, I think they have a chance to be good next year, but I don't really – you know, it's hard to say with, you know, if you have a healthy PG and Kawhi, then you say maybe the Clippers. But, you know, I think Denver with everybody healthy is probably a really big threat. And I think it's still interesting to see what Dallas does. And they've re-signed Hardaway, but do they have another move in them? I think it's still kind of premature because I still think you're going to see some more work done. But anytime you have Luka on a team, they're going to be a problem in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, Denver, I like what they did bringing Rivers back and then getting Jeff Green, old man Jeff Green. You know, he's another solid piece that, you know, doesn't need the ball in his hands, but he can do a lot of different things. I like what the Lakers did, even though they have, what, 8 players over 32. I still think they're probably the class in the West, but I really do like Golden State. I mean, even if they don't bring Kelly Oubre back, which I doubt they will because they're really high in that luxury tax now, building around Clay and Curry, you got to hope Clay can come back healthy, but they have Green, they have Wiggins, they have Wiseman. Otto Porter, I like him. I think bringing in Moses Moody is a really nice get for them as well. So they got some young talent and they got some old veterans. I think that once they figure out the pieces throughout the season, they're going to make a run. And I don't know if they'll win another chip to TP's point, but, you know, I think they'll be as dangerous as anybody. And they're pushing their chips in with Curry on the back half of his career. I think he's at 33 now. So, you know, they're going in with him. But I really hate what the Mavericks have or, quote, unquote, haven't done. They haven't done anything to build around Luka. I think bringing back Tim Hardaway Jr. was a nice piece, but I'm looking at them and I'm like, they haven't done anything to really solidify that team. I don't know if they're trading KP or not. Hopefully they can make it work, you know, with Jason Kidd as the coach. Maybe that was the missing piece, the coaching. But I'm looking at them and I'm looking at Portland. I don't think Portland has done enough. I think bringing back some guys are nice, but I don't think they've brought in enough players to say to Lillard, hey, this is where you need to build this team. I don't know. But Dallas had what? Probably they were top three in cap space this offseason and couldn't get anybody to come into the building. Just like the Knicks, like, you know, last couple of years, couldn't get anybody to come in. So I don't know. I don't know why Dallas can't get anybody to come to play with Luka and Porzingis. But it's no state tax. I mean, you get all your money mostly. I mean, you got to pay Uncle Sam, but that should be enticing. Dallas is a nice city to play in. They've got a good owner. They've got a good organization. Why can't they attract the right free agents to come in there? I don't know. But I just don't feel like Dallas did enough to really contend. I think they're still a middle-of-the-road 6 seed, maybe a 7 seed, that has to fight their way into the playoffs. They're never going to get up into that upper echelon for me. So that's just I just don't know. I really don't know about Dallas. And you know, all the good names are gone unless they go after, what, Schroeder, Oubre, whoever. I don't know. So Kawhi Leonard with the Clippers, I don't know. I don't even know if he's going to play this year. So if he does, they're a threat. If he doesn't, then they're going to push right back into the middle of the pack. They were a 4 seed this year because they sat out a couple games. I think they could be lower than that. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I do like what Phoenix did. I think bringing in McGee is a nice get for them because they needed that interior toughness. The Bucks exposed them on the inside. So I think bringing in McGee gives them a little bit of inside toughness and somebody that's won a chip. So that might help. But, you know, it's the Lakers, and we'll see who can fight them off, who can fight with them. So that's what I got. TP, I mean, I don't know if you had any kind of steaks or some, maybe, you know, a couple, you know, Bubba burgers you want to throw on the grill and cook them up. But, you know, it's been an interesting off season so far, at least free agency wise in the NBA. But I don't know if you want to talk a little football. You want to talk some football?
Stuff. Breaking news, Gerald McCoy just signed with the Raiders. So he is a Las Vegas Raider right now. Second off, said Golden State with Wiggins and Green. Who? Like, where?
It's funny.
And when? Also, how? Like, Draymond Green is not the Draymond Green from 2015, 16, 17, 18. This guy has turned into a shell of himself, and he carries the name of Draymond Green. He is on the Olympic team roster where he is not even making a change or an effect on the team. He is more or less just a guy that's looking to move the ball and play defense, which I give him credit. He's a good or a great defender, however you want to look at it. But if we're looking at Draymond Green and him going up against the Lakers, he has to pick a poison. You know what poison he has to pick? It's two of them, Anthony Davis or LeBron James. Which one does he want to drink, right? So let's just say he goes with Anthony Davis. He's going to get buried because he's smaller. Let's just say he goes with LeBron James. LeBron is in a focus mode with a ton of attention and potential around him to hurt them. I think that this hurts the Warriors more than anything, with a team like the Lakers fueled up and charged up to go after a championship after trying to defend their championship this past season and getting knocked off by a Suns team that I feel like, if healthy, the Lakers should have flatlined the Suns. And I'll say it again, they should have flatlined the Suns. Instead, the Suns flatlined them, and they couldn't take the heat at all. They couldn't stand the sun at all. They couldn't. So I'm not agreeing with that Golden State factor. It's cute. I know you put Maybelline on it, CoverGirl lipstick, whatever you needed to do. It's cute. But that ain't going to stick. Like, it's going to come off when the water hit it. Once the water hit it, it's coming off. Like, I feel like Golden State has their regular season flair. I feel like they'll run into a bust off first round and could potentially get knocked off, especially if Klay don't have that same lift that he had 2 years ago, 2019 Klay. Like, that's what we're having to hope that is back in him. And, oh, yes, to ice the cake, there is no more hiding Stephen Curry. Steph has to play defense now. Klay cannot expend all of that energy defending his guy because these point guards are too potent for Steph to get in foul trouble and try to defend or get burnt because he's slower than a lot of these guys. Steph is going to have to play honest basketball right now, and we'll see if his legs are with him as a shooter as well as a defender. So there's a lot of pressure on Golden State to even be strongly relevant to push toward a second round or a Western Conference final. Like, they have their work cut out for them also. So that's something that I was, like, banking on to, like, discuss because I'm scratching my head on where that may potentially happen. I feel like this is the Lakers season to let go of. Denver brought Will Barton back. Will Barton's been there for, what, 7 years? Like, nothing's changed. He's the same player. Like, what are they doing to try to get better? Malone is going to continue to sit on MPJ. Like, that's going to get better. I don't know what they're doing wasting this guy's time, and he's young. I don't like organizations that do that to players that could be something. You're stunning people's growth, and this is on human progression. This ain't based on what you have in a stable and wait till years and years to go by. Like, you did the same thing with Paul Millsap. Watch Paul Millsap waste away with that organization. Now he's up here swimming around the league. Like, the Utah Jazz are notorious for the situation, so I do want to see what does end up happening. But this isn't something that's appeasing to the NBA fan or the NBA analyst on which way that this team is going also. So the Denver Nuggets have their information cut out for them too. I don't know if they're a top four team or bottom eight. I think they're more bottom eight in the Western Conference now, the way that a lot of these teams are moving across the league.
Okay.
Mike, did you have anything to add?
Who would be your prediction of a top four in the East right now? Obviously, I understand that things could change, right, as far as what else happens roster-wise. But if you had to call the top four in the Western Conference right now, what's your guess?
TB, you want it? You want to take it first?
No, I was.
So I don't know if you're directing that at me or you. Oh, wait, who are you directing that to?
No, I was directing it to you, sir.
And this is West or Eastern Conference?
No, in the West.
West.
If you pick your four teams right now in the
top
West,
four.
Who do you think those four teams are?
Lakers, Clippers. I still have to give Denver a nod. I think they will be four. Utah got a lot to show me right now. I really don't want to put them as the fourth team. Because the way the playoffs came around, I'm looking at the Utah organization. They are still hoping for Joe Ingles to be that guy, to be like one of the higher guns. And he's not consistent enough for me. Like, he's doing it right now in the Olympics, but I don't think that this is consistent play for him when the lights are on. If I do have to go with another team, so I have Lakers, Clippers, Denver. Oh, man, it's tough, man. It's tough. I might shock the world and say Dallas, man. I might.
I figured you were going to go Dallas or Phoenix. I mean, that's a tough four, and I only thought about it because when you said Denver, whether they're top four or bottom eight, and I got to thinking of, like, those rosters, and I'm like, I don't know. I kind of maybe still think top four for them. But you're right. I mean, the way it could fall, you got about five teams.
But they're
going to
shoot on Murray. They're not going to make Murray go out there and exert all of that energy on a torn knee. Like, they're not.
Right.
And
right.
Who's going to be the guy to step up? You're going to ask Jokic to do more. And I'm not going to lie, he may be an awesome and great player, but he's still inferior to Anthony Davis. The way Anthony Davis made him look in the bubble, like, it looked bad. And nothing's changed. He's still going to be Jokic with a whole bunch of skill, but there's players here that can get their way on him or make him run. And he's going to have to show that he's ready to run and be ready for the lights. If Jokic can prove that him and that Nuggets team could knock off the Lakers, yo, give him every MVP. Forget just regular season. Give him finals MVP. I don't even care if they don't even make it to the finals. Just give it to him. Just give it to him. I don't believe in the Nuggets at all. I don't believe in them at all. Fool's gold.
You know, to me, I agree. I think Jokic has to prove a little bit more, the Joker. Definitely on the defensive end. I think offensively he proved that he could kind of muster the load with Murray being hurt. I was actually impressed what he was able to do offensively. But for me, Lakers, I'm going to say the Jazz. The Suns, because I think the Suns did everything to improve, and I'm gonna slot the Warriors in as the four. I think the Clippers, they would be a four-ish, but I think with Kawhi's uncertainty, basically you don't know if he's coming back or if he does, you know, come back to the Clippers, if he's going to be playing at any point this year, like load management wise or what have you. I don't know if they can do enough to get into that top four range. So I think the Warriors are going to be a little bit better than what we kind of suspect. So that's the four for me. I think the Jazz did enough to kind of rebuild, kind of retool the pieces that they lost to add Gay and Whiteside. So that's the four for me. I just don't think the Mavericks did enough. I really don't. I just don't like what they just didn't do. I don't think they did enough to build around Luka. And I think Luka and KP are a problem together. I don't think they work. I think you got to move on, but they're going to make it, they're going to run it back and try to make it work.
So, I mean, if I'm going to ask y'all that, I guess I should throw my four as well, but I would say Lakers, Suns, Jazz, and probably – I'm going to say Nuggets. I'm going to say they find a way to get the – I'm going to say they find a way to get the four.
Okay. That's fair. I mean, what's the bottom – I mean, what teams are fighting for the play-in? I mean,
Your other two is probably Dallas and either Golden State or the Clippers, depending on which way you lean, probably, right? Mm-hmm. Those are probably who you would consider the top seven right now, going mm-hmm. in. And then you're gonna have teams like in the play-in, one of those teams that I just said, and then teams like New Orleans or, you know, Minnesota thinks they can contend. Who knows? You got teams there. Portland obviously mm-hmm. is kind of always sort of in that discussion. Who knows what San Antonio is going to bring to the table? I just think they're probably slow and not very athletic this year. But I mean, there's a lot of teams that have a chance to be in that discussion, but I think six or seven teams right now, like on paper, to me, separate themselves from everybody else in that conference.
Have the Grizzlies and the Pelicans done enough to get into that eight, to push up into the eight, or you don't think they're going to push like the bottom eight, like the Blazers, Mavericks, Clippers, Nuggets, whatever we think, out? Do you think the Grizzlies, are good enough?
I think the interesting piece to me is it depends. If you have Jaren Jackson healthy all year, if Ja continues to move, then I think it's possible to push into that to that conversation. They were, in the 9-10 game last year, right? So they were right there off being the eighth seed, and that was without that guy for most of the year. And I think Graham is going to be a decent fit for New Orleans. New Orleans will be as good as Willie Green can convince them to be, and as much as he can get them to work together. Like, that's the key to what the Pelicans can do. If they can find a way to do that and coexist, I think there's enough talent on that roster to definitely be in that discussion. And I also think it depends on what happens with injuries with the Clippers. What does that roster look like? They don't have Reggie Jackson. They got some an issue to address at the point guard position and whatever. So I think that the jury is still out when it comes to how the rest of those teams come together in that conference. And the Clippers are a team that could slide too.
Yeah, I think Lou will should go back to L.A. That's what I think. He's a free agent. I don't think he's been signed yet. I think he should go back. But, I mean, listen, D'Antoni finds a job again. He's in New Orleans, assistant coach. So maybe that's a little bit of secret sauce, but who knows? I like what the Grizzlies are doing, so we'll see. We'll see if the Grizzlies, can push those teams around. But TP, we're almost at the tail end. I mean, I definitely want to get your feedback, and then we can, close the kitchen up and have an evening. So what do you think, TP? If you're on mute, take yourself off mute. I do it all the time.
I'm sorry, and I sure was running my mouth too. I think another team is going to have to jump out there and make the Lakers sweat. If not, the Western Conference is automatically theirs until they bump it to whoever the powerhouse is on the Eastern Conference side of the ball. Just a frenzy of things that happened with the Lakers. I've never seen the Lakers make this many moves in this short of a time in a free agency frenzy, like never. This is looking like a desperation move for a team that has 17, 18 championships. So I think this is the fight for LeBron / Russ / Carmelo. Football is here tomorrow. We have the Cowboys and the Steelers going at it, and interesting moves that are going on there as well. I mean, sports is at a premium right now. Hopefully be the thick of things like, you know, in October, November comes around, but it's here.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk a little football, and then we can get out of here. Because I've been talking NBA with the free agency. PP, we got the first game tomorrow. Can't wait. Two teams that, you know, are looking to get back into the playoffs or make a solid run. Steelers had a great run early in the season. Kind of fell apart at the end. They had the big draft pick with Harris. Cowboys getting their quarterback back, making some moves in the draft. Which one of these teams do you think has the bigger upside? These two legendary teams, the Cowboys and the Steelers, which one do you like the most to make a run into the playoffs? If you're talking, you're on mute again.
I said, that's interesting. And, of course, I was on mute talking. I really can't think of a name off my head right now. But there's a lot of interesting moves that have been made. And it's tough. It's tough. And, you know, especially with the move that I couldn't wait for to happen. Now that it's happened, it's like they're saying Super Bowl or bust for him out there in L.A. And it's like, I know they're going to be a good team, but I want to see if he's in the Super Bowl, then I'll tip my hat and tell him I apologize. But I just want to see what he does. I don't want to wish him bad. I want to see him do well. I want to see what the Raiders can do to contend in the AFC West, especially being invited to go to a couple of games this year and potentially going to be out there for their first inaugural preseason game this upcoming week, too. So hopefully that'll go down, too. But, yeah, I mean, there's a lot to be happy about, especially the Steelers game and Dak going to be out. He's not going to be able to play, but I wouldn't even want to see Dak until September. A lot of storylines to go behind, but this is great that football's here as of tomorrow.
17-game season, first in history, but I mean, I'm kind of pumped with the, you know, Cowboys and Steelers, even though I can't stand the Cowboys. It's football. I love watching it, so I'm going to watch the Hall of Fame game. I don't think Ben is playing. If I'm not mistaken, I think Rudolph is playing. So both quarterbacks are not in the building. But I think, you know, this might be the last run for Ben. You know, he got his receiver back in Juju. Like I said, he's got Harris at the running back position. So it's going to be interesting to see if the Steelers can, you know, kind of make a move. You know, they were what 11-12-0, and then they kind of fell apart at the end. So it'll be interesting to see if they can kind of push, because I think the Browns are for real, and they're not going anywhere. The Ravens are always a tough out, so that division is no joke. And the Cowboys can take the East, but you know, it could go a lot of different ways in the East, as I'll talk about in the coming weeks. But Mike, I mean, football wise, I mean, you know, we got the Dallas Cowboys and the Steelers. Which one of those two teams that are playing tomorrow in the Hall of Fame game do you think could make a run in the playoffs?
You know, I think that maybe the Steelers are the better football team, but I think the answer is the Dallas Cowboys. Because I think that – and that's, of course, providing that Dak stays healthy and whatever, because I do think that's still a – I think that's actually a weaker division this year than that AFC North, and it's anybody's game. So I think they're more likely to get there, and maybe the team that would be most likely to make a run between the two. But honestly, like, expect either one of them to make a deep run in the playoffs. But, you know, given the history of those franchises, like, it wouldn't shock you if something like that happened. But if I had to guess, I would probably say Dallas, then my instincts tell me to go the other way because I think that there may be still more talent on Pittsburgh's football team. I just that offensive line for Pittsburgh really scares me this year. I don't think they're that good.
Yeah, it could be a problem. That is totally true. I mean, I think they did enough. They addressed the running back position, which was a glaring hole. But you know, that offensive line, it's hard to find linemen. And if you find them, you better hold on to them. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with the Steelers. I do think the Steelers could probably make a run, but it's going to be tough in the AFC. They got some good teams out there. I mean, the Browns, like I said, the Ravens. Obviously, you got the Chiefs, defending AFC champs. The Bills are no joke. I think the Titans, you know, getting Julio, who's got a little bit of a nagging injury right now. You know, they're not going to be any easy out. The Colts have a really good defense, but Carson Wentz hurt again. So the AFC is going to be tough. It's going to be tough for all comers. So we'll see what happens out there. I don't know, TV, I don't know if you heard what happened with the Giants. They had a little brawl, a brawl for it all in practice, and then Joe Judge made them run laps like we used to run at the Stanford High. So did you see that? And like, do you like Joe Judge being like a hard ass and making them run the laps and 100-yard gassers and then doing push-ups until they faint? I mean, did you see that? Did you like it? Or did you were like, come on, man, this is the NFL. You can't run it like a college team.
This is people trying to enforce the Patriot way. In the words of CeeLo Green, who cares? Nobody cares about the blue at all. Like, they're going to get heated. They're going to get heated in the summertime. You know, tempers flare, and that's going to happen. Like, this is football. This is not badminton or volleyball. They're going to get mad at each other. And, oh, by the way, the Giants took a receiver from a team out of Motown named Kenny Galladay. He's injured already. So, I mean, I didn't wish injury on him. I don't want him to be injured. I want him to be successful. But I think Detroit knew something all along for the past couple of seasons with him missing a lot of time, too. So, please, do not get me started on the New York Giants. Please don't make me do this. Because I can let the whole clip go. I can't. But I'll be fair.
I saw that, too.
Let me finish. Who cares?
Are you finished? Can I go?
You can. Yes.
I saw that with the hamstring, and I immediately wanted to call you. I was like, I don't want to hear TP rubbing it in. I don't want to hear that.
See, exactly.
I don't want to hear that.
See, this is what you want. You listen. In the words of Style P and the Locks, last night you seen it. Be careful what you ask for. Get it? Because you asked for it.
Top five, dead or alive. Jada Kiss. Top five.
No, not at all. No.
You don't think so?
No, he's not.
You don't think so? Mm-hmm. I mean,
Siegel's are top five, too, then. The Beanie Siegel's are top five, dead or alive, too, then.
Did you see his drink champs? With Noriega?
No, I didn't.
Did you see it? Oh, you got to watch it. It's good. It's good. Beans, man. Come back, Beans. We need you. But Jada Kiss, you know, he put it on last night. I got to give him props, man. He was like a superstar out there.
But don't forget, Siegel kicked his ball over the fence. Don't ever forget that.
That was a bio for the
ball
ages,
over
right?
the fence. And
no,
he didn't offer to go get it.
I know. He walked away.
He kicked it over into the field with the big dog, so you wasn't ever getting it back either.
Right. Exactly. And that's literally what he told Jason, too, at that time. So if they think Jason is top five that are alive, they better understand what Dwight did to him in 2001, 2002. It was not.
But I mean, you know, Jadakiss still can rhyme with anybody in the game. So I love that dude, man. And I love Beans, man. You know I love Beans. So it's fun.
Well,
that was hip hop, man. That was for... What? What?
No, you don't.
Don't do
no,
that.
You
That's
don't.
Not nice. That's not nice. Don't do that.
No,
come
you
on,
don't.
You know. Come on, man.
Name four Beanie Siegel songs right now. Four Beanie Siegel songs. No features.
What? I mean, no features.
Yeah.
He said no. I mean, the truth, that's probably my favorite.
Okay, that's
song.
One. Come on. I need three more.
I mean, you know I love Nothing Like It. That's my joint.
That's true. That's true.
That's my joint. I mean, listen,
he's
I actually
Googling
do like
people.
People
he's Googling.
No,
he's
I'm not. No,
he's
I'm
Googling.
Not. I just
yes, he is. I know Barry very well. He's Googling right now.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not.
He's Googling. Never mind. Everybody forget it. Forget it. Forget it. Forget it. Everybody forget it. Just understand.
No.
Just understand this is what he's doing. He's buying time.
No, I'm not. Dude, I actually
he named the first
song
off of each track.
I like this song. I'm in. Shut up. See? Stop.
This is terrible. Listen, okay, let's continue.
You're being mean to me now. I didn't even Google. I'm about to say I like this song. I'm in. I actually like that song after. What's the one that came after? I can't remember the name of the album. Fuck.
Told you. I'm telling you. 4:30. Poor city is Googling. Listen, no, leave it alone. Stop.
No, I'm not Googling. I'm watching this Canadian.
You've been rapping since 1998, and you can only give me two songs? Listen, Poor City, I apologize. I like the freestyle,
Rockefeller freestyle. That was all him.
I said without... Stop it.
That was the feature. That was the freestyle.
Listen,
you know, it came in
like
the game
the beginning, with... Listen,
with
one of my favorite songs in the world came out in the late 80s by an artist named Slick Rick. The name of the song was called Mona Lisa. And the first word that he says before the track drops, he says, enough.
Oh, stop. See, that's what I'm talking about. You know I like beans. You know I like, you know, I don't do much. That's another one I like.
He Googled this one. He started Googling
you
people.
Want,
there
you
we, here we
no,
go.
This,
he started
no,
Googling
no, no,
people.
This
he started
is why
Googling.
I don't like
there we go. All right. No,
is,
no further
this
questions, Your Honor. I knew this was going
to
happen.
I try to keep my daughter away from
this.
My daughter loves TP to death. My daughter, when she sees TP, she runs to the door and says, TP.
It's so bad.
She's like, big time.
It's so bad.
But then I try to keep her away from him because he's such a mean hero. He's mean to me, people. Like, my daughter loves him, and I'm trying to keep her. He's mean to me.
Sport City.
He knows that
Sport City. I'm going to tell you. Listen, Sport City, if I'm mean, you tell me this, right? He said that I'm mean and his daughter this, his daughter that, right? Do you know, Sport City, I'm going to let you in on my life and how my heart has been crushed. When I leave the Jordan residence, those children get ready to cry because they don't want me to leave. You tell me who's mean. You tell me who's mean. They get mad to the point where Barry says, go get dressed. Go to bed. Like, go lay down. Like, you're talking about a superhero compared to a doggone villain. And I'm up here about to cry with him. Like, I don't want to leave. Like, I want to chill. They like, I don't go. Like, this is what they telling me. Like they put their flashlight in the sky and put their T-symbols up. Like, I feel it. I feel it in the air like Beanie Siegel. I feel it in the air. He could have said that. He didn't even say that song. He didn't even get that out of his lungs.
I did say
people.
That song.
So understand, shout out to Avery dancing to Biz Markie. Shout out to X-Man. Y'all already know how I get
you
down.
That,
and
right?
I see my baby dancing to Biz Markie. Feel me? So this
you
how close
that
I am to them.
You love that.
You see what I'm saying? So understand what this right here is about. You know what I'm saying? Don't ever try to play me. Don't ever. Now, especially
in front
of
my niece. Rest in peace. Rest in peace to Biz. But you love that, right?
Okay.
Nobody beats
No. But
nobody
just see how close I am to the kids. He said, I mean, and they tear my heart out of my chest. And they be like, Ty, don't go. Don't go. And he goes, go to bed. Go get dressed. Hurry up. Get take a
you're
shower.
Mean
get
to
dressed.
Me. You're mean to me.
No.
You're mean to
no,
me.
No.
And that's
no,
what I'm
no.
saying.
You're the
like,
villain. I'm supposed
you try to.
You don't
you
like
to
what
pull
I
my
do.
Whole
you're
card.
You're the villain. You're the bad guy. You're not going to like what I do. You're the bad guy. You're not going to like
oh,
good. The children like good. Children can see good. You don't see it. I'm sorry that this happens to you.
Unbelievable. This is what I got to go through, people. I'm trying to have a civil conversation with him. I'm trying to give him my beans tracks. And he just won't let it go. I can't. Anyway, I love beans. I don't care what you say. I just like Jada Kiss more. I do. I like Jada Kiss more. We going to make it. Listen, it's going to be a fun NFL season, though. To get full circle back to what I was talking about before,
it's going to be a fun season. I do think, you know, Kenny Golladay injury, typical. You know, we'll see how that nets out. But, you know, I mean, there's other players injured too. And, you know, obviously, you know, there's not enough in the NFL to talk about. So what are they talking about? Can Trey Lance be the starter in San Francisco? Come on, no, give me a break. Stop. He's not going to start because he's throwing a couple passes in practice. We're going to start him now. Like, give him some time. But it's going to be fun. I can't wait for, you know, the game tomorrow, and then we start really getting into seeing some live action with the NFL players and NFL teams in a 17 game season. How that's going to work out. We did say we want to have a fantasy league this year, so there's going to be a lot of bragging rights on that as well. So we'll be setting that up soon. And Mike, you're more than welcome to join us. So I'm putting that out there. But I mean, what else NFL wise? You said McCoy, right? McCoy signed with the Raiders, right? That's what you said.
Yeah.
TP.
Yes, that just
came through. Do you know the
I'm a superhero. I get the news out of the car. Come on.
Do you know what the deal was?
No, I don't know the numbers. I just know that it was breaking news when I gave it to
you. Okay. Yeah, I'm not seeing any numbers either. But 33 years old. Question for you though. And Keep, I'll come to you, and then I'll go to Mike. So McCoy goes to the Raiders, Las Vegas. Not sure how big of a deal that was. I thought he, you know, he sat out last season with the torn quad, so glad to have him back in the league. Do you think Gruden is on the hot seat in Las Vegas? Do you think he needs to start putting it together and start winning some games and getting this team in the playoffs? I mean, he is the coach. I think he's, like, basically right there with the GM. But, you know, he's come in. They had a lot of expectations. They haven't really won a whole lot. They got some nice pieces. But, you know, it's always a question of are they going to keep Derek Carr or not? Is he going to move on and find his own quarterback? What's going on there? You know, is he on the hot – does he need to start winning some games, TP?
No, the organization just promised him that this week. He's in no rush to perform right now. So the organization just said that this week. He's all right. But I think that he should be able to showcase more than what he's given. And there should be a short leash. They're in Las Vegas. They have to make a change right now. And they can't continue to look up to the Kansas City Chiefs for the next three seasons at least. Like, that's bad. So I think he should be, but the organization just promised him this year or this past couple of weeks. So he's fine.
Wow, that's no pressure there. I mean, Mike, do you think Gruden needs to start winning some games in Las Vegas? I mean, you know, I think they got Carr, they got a really good pieces there, some good young pieces, and Henry Ruggs and company, like the tight end, he escapes my mind right now. But you know, he's actually really good, one of the better tight ends in the league. Do they need to start winning some games? Of course he did. So it's just me. I think they need to start winning some games. Damn it. That's what I'm going to say. They need to start winning some games. I think Gruden, you know, he has a track record. He's won some other places he's gone. Obviously, you know, has a Super Bowl ring. I mean, he's been there. What? I think this is his third or fourth year. They haven't really turned it around yet. Usually NFL coaches by now, if they haven't turned it around, they're looking for a new job. So, I mean, that's kind of where I think he needs to start winning some games. I think being middle of the road, to your point, looking up at the Chiefs, one of their rivals, isn't good enough. I think they need to start winning some games. So I hope they do. Not at the expense of my team, but, you know, I think they got some pieces in place. They should be winning more than they are right now. That's how I feel about it. But TP, I mean, anything you want to throw out there? Are you good? You finished berating me about, you know, Beanie Siegel.
Yeah, I know the way that you say his name, Beanie Siegel, like that. I know you don't know four Siegel songs off the top of your head, and I gave you Feel It in the Air, probably the one more classic song, and you're looking at freestyles like this is absurd.
Yeah, I'm on side with you. I don't need to talk to the villain anymore. Excuse me, you're telling me to talk like G. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? You're asking me questions and you're going to answer them too?
Wait,
hold on.
Come
you going to answer these questions for me too? Wait, hold on. Are you going to answer these questions for me too?
God.
Like, this is absolutely good. Listen, where's Avery when I need her? Like, Avery know how to
sleeping.
She just got quiet. Like, she's the best. Like that's. You got like Sports City. I don't understand what these kids can do to him. They can stop him. Xavier can do just enough to make him fume, and Avery is, you know, daddy little girl gonna win. So it's like I need these kids to like somehow, some way. They're being trapped against their will, and I'll be able to save them soon. Don't you worry, Sports City. I will. But I'm all set with him. I can't.
Unbelievable. I can't. People. I can't. Listen. They're sleeping where they're supposed to be, my babies. You know. I had to play the Biz. I had to play a whole album, and that's the song that she clung to. Nobody beats the Biz because it's catchy. Nobody beats the Biz, you know. So she's, you know, that's my baby. That's my baby. So I got her on that and Lupe Fiasco right now. So that's what I was rocking in the car, and she can't get enough of it. So. That's how I corrupt my kids. I don't corrupt them with like the baby. I just learned his name 5 minutes ago because he tried to come at Questlove. So, I couldn't pick him out of the lineup. That's not how I roll. That's not how I get down. I listen to hip hop. Oh, shout out, rest in peace, the Biz. Nobody beats the Biz. Magnificent. But I'm good. Let's wrap it up. You know, listen. Get to your computer screens. Get on sportscitychefs.com. Listen to the blog. Read the articles. Get the merchandise. We got a lot of nice merch out there for you. Get out there. Listen to our shows. We got the Baseball Buffet tomorrow, 9 o'clock, talking some baseball. Yankees, nice win today. But, I mean, this is a team you need to sweep, not lose the first game. Now half their pitching staff's got COVID. I mean, when it rains, it pours in New York. I can't with them sometimes, but they're going to keep me in it because that's what they do. They're going to keep me hanging on. But listen to the Baseball Buffet. And then, you know, the flagship show, the brunch back again on Sunday. I'm not sure if we're back next Wednesday. TP is on vacation. If he says we're a go, we're good. But either way, there's shows all week. We always got something cooking for you, so make sure you do that. TP, actually, Mike, thanks for calling in. He dropped, couldn't keep him, he couldn't stay on. I think we're having some trouble, but thank you for coming in. He, you know, on the barbershop with TP, they do shows all week, all day, so you can call in.
He's back.
Oh, he's back. Okay, so gotcha. So I'm going to bring him in right now. Mike, we're about to close this thing up, but if you got a plug, definitely give us a plug. If you want to talk anything about football, don't bring up Beanie Siegel, Beans. He says TP will jump down your throat. But anything else you want to talk about, and then we're gonna close it up.
No, man, thanks for having me. It's an exciting thing, you know. We talked about the trade deadline. My personal team at the time always likes to give me a hard time about in baseball, is at least getting a little punch from their acquisition. So that's nice to see, hitting a couple home runs in St. Louis tonight. Football season around the corner. This is always like an exciting time of year because to see how things happen. I'm very much enjoying the Olympics. Shout out to Tamara Minta Stock. Black wrestler won the gold medal. I misquoted. She is the second American to win freestyle gold since it started as a sport in 2004. Heather Maroulis, who's in the semifinals today, did the same thing 5 years ago. So it's kind of cool to see that kind of open up and how that happened. So I'm happy to see it. I'm interested to see moving forward fantasy football coming up. Lots of things coming in as we start getting into the fall. Time to enjoy your time in Vegas. We'll chop up on that more. Come see us at the barbershop on Clubhouse. Timeless and Groove, it's their deal, but we got all kinds of things going on over there as well. So come check us out. As I said a couple of times, you don't need an invite anymore to jump on Clubhouse. Just download the app and come find us. TP is definitely the timeless wonder and can be found anywhere. Much love and appreciation for you always inviting me on and bringing me into the Sports Chef family and hanging out with you guys today. Thanks very much, as always. And I'm looking forward to everything to come. Look forward to being on the baseball show tomorrow, the brunch on Sunday, and always love chopping it up with Sports City Chefs, and thanks for having me once again.
Absolutely, man. We love having you, man, and definitely get out to the clubhouse and listen to them, man. It's a good show. It's always fun to hear them going back and forth about anything and everything, just like a barbershop. So definitely a good time there. Yeah, and definitely shout out to DeGrasse from Canada. He won the I think it was the 200 just today. So first Canadian in over 100 years to gold in that. So shout out to them. But Olympics is always fun. I always love watching that. So. You know, it sucks because my daughter wants to watch the gymnastics, but gymnastics comes when it's bedtime, so I got to be a responsible parent, put her to sleep, but she wants to watch the gymnastics, so we try to keep her up a little bit, but it's always fun. TP, you know what to do. Give us a close us up, you know, as always, brother.
Shout out to X-Man and A-Lover. I'll be over there as soon as I possibly can, man. Y'all just keep the spirit. Keep fighting the bad. I'm over here fighting the bad, too. I'm trying to make sure that you guys get milk and cookies and, you know, things like that. I know that you want to stay up, Avery, and watch Simone, and that could be somebody that you go look up to as a heroine and things like that. But, you know, your father, you know, I battle with him. Like, I talk to people about him. Like, I go see shrinks and stuff, you know, because I have to deal with, you know, Lex, you know. But... You know, sportscitychefs.com, check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. You know, more importantly, we got the merch out there with T-shirts and things like that coming around. And stay tuned. Dave and Nate will be having a buffet. Dave also have 30-minute segments with lunch hour breaks. So stay tuned to a lot of stuff that's going around in Sports City. We're going to have more content coming around shortly and more. We are growing as best as possible on that note. Tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if Barry doesn't know Beanie Siegel, now he knows.
Sports City, chefs, Sports City, chefs, Sports City, chefs, Kaboom, Sports City chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman versus MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City.